Well, friends, welcome back to Gospel Life, where each week we press forward in the grace-driven task of keeping the main thing of the gospel the main thing in our lives. My name is Mark Fodale, and as we near the end of our first full season, I just want to thank you. Thank you for joining me as we together explore and apply gospel-centered living. Today's episode, which is going to spill over into some upcoming episodes as well, is actually the fruit of a book I began reading some months ago as the cold winds of winter settled over our area. The book is called Heart Aflame, A Reformed Approach to Spiritual Formation, and it was written by Matthew Bingham. Today, we'll begin with the topic in Bingham's work that honestly had the most impact on me. Now, it's a subject that might seem surprising to many of you. In fact, it was to me when I first dove headlong into that chapter. But as the author patiently leaned into clear explanations, as well as dishing up a plethora of relevant scriptures, and then as he gently suggested some very helpful applications, well, I was hooked. Okay, enough buildup. The topic I'd love for us to consider today is meditation. That's right, meditation. Now, believe it or not, meditation has a long and rich and deep history within the church. It was, for many generations, considered an essential part of a flourishing and vibrant relationship with God. In fact, if you go way back, the Reformers and the Puritans often preached and taught and wrote about a triad of disciplines, that simply means three disciplines, that were key to ongoing spiritual formation in the lives of God's people. And that triad consisted of Bible study, prayer, and meditation. Let me just say those again, Bible study, prayer, and meditation. Now, I don't know about you, but two of those three are quite familiar to me. In fact, if I were asked to name the key personal disciplines in the Christian life, I would say without very much pause or hesitation, Bible study and prayer. And if asked why those two, I would respond, well, because in Bible study, God speaks to us, and in prayer, we speak to him. Simple, right? Case closed. But meditation? I mean, my reaction was, that's what people do in yoga classes. I mean, meditation is when you pop your earbuds in to shut the world out. Meditation, at least in our culture and in my untrained mind, it just conjures up images of emptying one's mind or chanting repetitive phrases. In fact, Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, once declared, "To know yourself is to be confident, and meditation is the key to this. My life would be empty, and I would be nothing without it." I remember reading that and going, "Know myself? I don't want to know myself. I want to know God. No meditation for me. Thanks anyway, Steve. You keep your meditation, and I'll keep my Bible study and prayer." Yeah, that was my initial response to that section in Heart Aflame. And let me tell you, the more I read, the more I realized how wrong I was. Listen, did you know that meditation is referenced all through the scriptures? Listen to this selection from Philippians 4. Paul writes, "Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, meditate on these things." He wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the elders. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all." In Malachi chapter 3, it says, "Those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. The Lord listened and heard them, so a book of remembrance was written before him for for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. Remember this command of Joshua in Joshua 1? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. And listen to these selections from the Psalms. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Psalm 77, I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Psalm 119, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Psalm 143, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. Listen, friends, 14 times in the Psalms, the word meditate is used. 5 times, the word meditation appears. Here's just 2 selections. Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. And then in Psalm 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So, listen, the word of God is pro-meditation. Now, at this point, you might be persuaded that the practice or even the command to meditate is present in the scripture. But the next question is, okay, so what is it? What is meditation? Well, I'll tell you, Bingham offers a most helpful definition in his book. Here it is. He wrote, meditation entails an intentional reflection that seeks to build on understanding what a text is saying and to press further into its personal significance. Then he writes this, meditation attempts to move God's truth from our heads into our hearts. You know, in the early 1700s, Puritan pastor Wilhelmus Brockle, he penned these very helpful words. A Christian meditates not strictly speaking to learn new information, but rather to press more deeply into divine things with which he is already acquainted, so as to be kindled with love and comforted with grace and stirred up to lively exercise. So helpful. So meditation is taking what we have already gleaned from the scriptures and spend additional time considering it and thinking it over, all with the goal of moving it from the head into the heart. You know, our church fathers, when they spoke and wrote about meditation, they often use the image of a fireplace. They spoke of meditation as stirring up slowly dying or dimming embers so that fresh flames may spring to life. In fact, John Newton once wrote, meditation is the bellows of the soul that kindles and inflames holy affections. So think for just a moment about eating a fine steak dinner. You know this, it's not enough to simply put the meat into your mouth. In order to gain the most from it, you have to chew it and digest it. See that chewing, that digesting? That's meditation. Let me tell you, those quotes and images were so helpful to me. Meditation is not disengaging the mind. It's not losing oneself in one's thoughts. Rather, it's intentionally reflecting on the word so that it's driven more deeply into our minds and hearts and eventually into our hands. And listen, can we admit that is both a weakness and a desperate need for many of us? You see, in our cultural moment in the church, it's far too easy to pile up biblical information. You know, fill in our outlines, take notes, spend time personally and corporately in the scriptures, learn more and more and more. And I tell you, all that is well and good. But do I ever put aside the time to intentionally reflect on what we have learned and heard, to pause the intake of information so that we can consider what has been taken in? You see, that's why the reformers, that's why they said Bible study and prayer are not enough. Meditation is the key middle step. To hearing the word, we must spend time meditating on the word, and then we turn the fruit and effect of that meditation into prayer. No, okay, I tell you what, there's so much more to say on this, but I hope I've whet your appetite a bit. Next week, we're just going to press into this even more. And until then, may I encourage you, meditate what you read and hear in the scriptures. As you hear the word preached this coming Lord's Day in worship, set aside time to think and pray over it. As you leave that midweek Bible study or end your devotional time in the word, determine to consider and reflect on what you've read. And to help us all in this task, next episode, we'll talk about how to do that, how to practically and fruitfully meditate. Until then, let me leave you with this old prayer of the church, which asks the Lord to help us in this endeavor. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of eternal life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, our God, forever and ever. Amen.